Amen. Amen. We've been considering the fact that the Lord left these simple elements to remember him, and we've been discussing the beauty of it, and it is a collective activity that we do together. And that will come out more, I think, when we look at 1 Corinthians 11. We can emphasize that display of unity among believers that do this in a room together, as well as the implications of that worldwide. What I wanted to bring us to is the cup. Now, we've been talking much about the bread, and we have mentioned the cup. This is a different cup than was first used by the Lord. The Lord used a cup before they celebrated the Passover, the cup of thanksgiving, and we believe this is the cup, the third cup, the cup of blessing. And instead of using it in the normal cedar Passover way, he brings new meaning to it. Notice it says likewise or similarly. So that would suggest that he introduced this remembrance, both the bread and the cup, simultaneously after the Passover. That is why we know for a fact that Judas had already left the room, according to John 13, after he was given that honor of receiving that first part of the Passover. Then Satan entered Judas, and it says he immediately left the room. Then the disciples celebrated the Passover, but after the meal, the Passover meal, the Lord gave this symbol of his body, and now he gives this cup. And I believe it is significant in the order, the bread first and then the cup secondly. There is the truth that the Lord did bleed on the cross. He bled when they scourged his back. He bled when they put the thorns on his head. He bled with the nails in his hands and his feet. And some have said he bled in seven places. The back, the head, the two hands, and the two feet. But then it says after he gave up his spirit, after he died, after he gave his life, a soldier came and pierced his side. And the scriptures record in John's gospel, out came the blood and the water. Not only signifying his death, but it says the word shed here is used. This is my blood shed for you. Shed means poured out. And yes, the Lord bled. In many parts of his body, he bled. But he was emphasizing this moment after his death that he would shed his blood. And he did. By that piercing of his side, his blood was poured out. And we know that God has received this sacrifice. He has accepted it as payment in full for our sin and for our judgment. The Lord took our place. He is our substitute. And he's given these elements in this way. How did he know? How did he know? Because he's the Son of God. He knew exactly what was going to take place in the next hours. He knew he was going to die on the cross. He knew his blood would be shed. He knew in the order in which it would take place. And he's given us this way of remembrance, beloved, because we're not to forget that he already knew before he gave them to us. And they have a meaning then, as well as all during this, what we call Christian dispensation, all during this time. When he returns again, we won't need these symbols. But we have these symbols now. And it is a privilege for us to do what the Lord has asked. Do this in remembrance of me.
Just a
question. Does the cup then bring us and advance us beyond the loaf? That is, the loaf brings us to a certain point. Does the cup then move us beyond? If you understand my question, is the loaf, it brings us to a place. We saw the matter of the body, sin being dealt with in the body. The death of Christ, the judgment of God, the abandonment of God as seen in the body. Sin being taken care of. Now, does the cup bring us a further step beyond that.
Jake.
I'm going to bypass those thoughts for a moment. All that we have said of the beauty of the work of Christ, under that expression, this do. And in doing this, we weigh these matters before the Lord. We enjoy them. But then comes the Lord's statement, this do, remember me. I don't remember all his sufferings. We've recalled them. But I remember the one who has done it all. I remember me, he says. I remember the Lord. His person. That is what brings before me. And the greater I appreciate or come to understand all various aspects that have been presented to us here. That is certainly something that fills the soul and leads me to worship, but I worship him who has done it all.
I'm not sure, Brother Dave, if I can separate both. Because that body has to be raised. That same body has to be raised from amongst the dead. But I really understand your thought that that brings us beyond the domain of death. It brings us to a domain not only resurrection. It goes beyond the resurrection. Because the Lord Jesus impressed that cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. So he goes all the way beyond the scene of death. Beyond resurrection, wonderful as they are, but he brings us to that world to come. And that world to come was briefly introduced to us in the prophets by two things that are prominent. The will of God, the new covenant is all about the will of God. I will, I will, I will, I will. And the knowledge of God. And how wonderful to see that with introducing this cup, he goes beyond death because, of course, he knew that he's going to be raised and rule supreme.
Go ahead. I was just going to say the giving of his life would not have been the complete work. There had to be the shedding of the blood. So it completes it. That's the way I would express it, but I appreciate the thoughts that already expressed.
We have to conclude? Well, if we could, because I know we're going to come back to the reality of the supper in 1 Corinthians.
Yeah, we're pretty much out of time. I want to point out that many enjoy the English Standard Version. And I want to warn you about verse 20. It is an unfaithful translation in the English Standard Version of this verse. In the English Standard Version of this verse, it's suggesting that the cup is what is poured out. It is the blood of Christ that is poured out. That is the correct rendering of this verse. So just to warn you that there are some unusual renderings in that translation, the English Standard Version.
Perhaps sing 328. 328.